Grubhub ditches Uber to merge with a European rival instead. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Santarelli. Good morning. Grubhub is being gobbled up for $7.3 billion by Just Eat Takeaway to create one of the world's largest meal delivery companies. Less than 2 months ago, the Dutch founder of Takeaway bought its UK rival Just Eat for $8 billion and is now hungry for a slice of the lucrative American market. I asked Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, what the investor reaction has been like.
Well, I suppose it really depends on whether you're a shareholder in Just Eat Takeaway or a shareholder in Grubhub. In the after-hours trading, Grubhub shares were higher. But if you're a Just Eat Takeaway shareholder, I think you've become used to the ambitions of CEO Jutz Grund, because he's only just completed the Just Eat Takeaway.com merger, which cost around about 7 billion euros. And in 2018, he spent a billion euros on acquiring the German operations of Delivery Hero. So it's quite clear that he's on very much an acquisition spree, as I think has prompted a little bit of profit taking in Just Eat Takeaway shares. They closed down 11% yesterday. They're down another 2 or 3% today. So from that point of view, I think there's a perception that maybe he's going too fast.
This is not good news for Uber. It had been in talks with Grubhub for months about a merger. In fact, they nearly agreed on a purchase price. So what's next now when it comes to Uber's food delivery business?
Yeah, I think this is the big question. I think there was a number of antitrust concerns over the Uber Grubhub acquisition. A number of politicians had expressed concerns and the monopoly that Uber would have. So I think in terms of Uber Eats, this is not good news, but I think it speaks to a wider concern, I think, in the US delivery space about competition.
Michael Hewson from CMC Markets, thanks for your insights.
Thank you.
In other corporate news, shares of the Anglo-Dutch consumer goods giant Unilever are rising over 2% after it abandoned plans to combine its two divisions in the Netherlands. Unilever will instead form a single company in London, which it says will make acquisitions, demergers and spin-offs easier. Over in Hong Kong, China's second biggest online retailer, JD.com, has reportedly raised nearly $4 billion in its Hong Kong share sale. JD shares are scheduled to start trading next week, which could cement its status as the world's second biggest listing this year. Meanwhile, tensions continue to rise between Australia and China. Beijing recently imposed a ban on Australian beef and barley and is now urging Chinese students to reconsider studying in Australia. The Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said he'll never trade national values in response to coercion from any source. The BBC's Shaima Halil has more from Sydney.
The Prime Minister said it would be up to Chinese students to decide whether they wanted to study in Australia, and that the country would not be intimidated by threats from Beijing. Scott Morrison's comments came after China warned students to consider the risks of studying in Australia, citing the threat of COVID-19 and discrimination against Asians as possible risks. The Australian Education Minister rejected Beijing's claims and said the country had succeeded in flattening its COVID-19 curve and that it was currently one of the safest places for foreign students to be based. China is Australia's most important trading partner and sends the most international students. Relations worsened between Canberra and Beijing after Australia echoed the US in calling for an independent inquiry into the origins of the coronavirus, first detected in China late last year.
The BBC's Shaima Halil in Sydney. Professional sport around the world is tentatively getting back up and running. The latest and perhaps biggest league to restart so far is Spain's top soccer league, La Liga, which returns tonight, as the BBC's Will Bain reports.
Spanish soccer returns tonight with one of its fiercest rivalries as Seville's two big clubs, Real Betis and Sevilla, meet for the first professional game in Spain in almost exactly 3 months. It's going to sound a lot less like this, and probably quite a lot more like this. But for a country that was one of the worst hit by the coronavirus in the world, the return of La Liga so soon is a success in itself, and a welcome one for clubs like Real Betis, as their head of international business development, Tony Ortega, explained.
Of course, we had to follow the health requirements and follow the regulations, but we thought that football was a key sector to bring back, not only economically, but also socially, but also economically. It's almost 1.5 of the GDP of Spain, and it's really important for Spain and its society to have football back.
Another sound those of us watching tonight will be without, Sevilla's club anthem. Well, certainly won't be in the ground, but the broadcasters will be piping some kind of sound into your living room, love it or loathe it. But like City rivals Betis, Sevilla's chief executive Jose Maria Cruz says the finances meant soccer had to return as soon as possible.
It would have been a disaster not restarting the competition. We receive most of our income from season ticket holders. Not having supporters in a single match is not the problem. Not having supporters in the rest of the 11 matches of the competition is a real problem. More or less between 20 and 30% of the income of each club. So in principle, I believe that we will need at least two seasons to recover because people have less money.
Plenty will be different, but hopefully with the first very excitable call for a goal, everything will feel like it's somehow getting slightly back to normal. A safe distance from that very loud commentator. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
And finally, cosmetics giant Sephora is the first major retailer in the US to commit to diversifying its stores and supply chain in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Sephora will set aside 15% of its shelf space to products from Black-owned businesses and look to improve Black business owners' access to venture capital. The 15% pledge is a grassroots initiative created in response to the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The name refers to the proportion of the US population that is Black. Sephora is owned by the French luxury conglomerate LVMH and operates over 2,600 stores across 34 countries. For more on how the corporate world is responding to the Black Lives Matter movement, visit marketplace.org. In London, I'm Lisa Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.